Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Next, I'd like to introduce, throw your hands in the air if
you're a true player. Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Jacob Albrecht on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
And good morning, everybody. Good Tuesday to you as we get going on another edition of Sports Daily Tuesday morning. Bright and early. Good to have you with us. 869-1240. Is the KFH hotline fueled by Twin Peaks. Jacob Albrecht's on the other side of the aisle. Jad Chambers producing. You know who you are. Feel free to join the show at your convenience as we get going on this Tuesday. Jacob, tis the season, and by that I don't mean to be jolly unless you're a college football coach making changes in your location. Was Lincoln Riley on his way to USC? We talked about that. Reports of upwards of $11 million to make that move, amongst other inducements. And then late news yesterday, Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, where he's the all-time winningest coach in 12 years at Notre Dame for LSU. So the dominoes have started to fall. And, you know, I'm all for everyone getting their best offer. It's just a damn shame this is all happening. And this is part of the thing that's wrong with college football, in my estimation. And it's a big thing that's wrong with college football during the season. I mean, we've got Luke Fickell now, who is going to be a name of serious interest in a few places, trying to get a football team ready to play Houston. We're talking about the head coach at Cincinnati. And how can this not be a distraction? I'm just using him as an example. But, you know, whomever the case may be. College football is still playing arguably their most important games. And here we have this coaching carousel spinning now out of control.
Could you imagine, Bruce, if Caleb Williams transferred to USC right after the game, what the blowback would be?
Well,
could you imagine if he came out of that game against Oklahoma State and what one day later announced he was transferring to USC? What would be the perception there?
Well, it wouldn't be good, and people would all riled up about it.
How do we not hold these coaches to a higher standard than we hold these players? It gets ridiculous. I really want to hear from transfer portal is bad guy today. Like, are you kidding me with this? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. These guys get paid to leave half the time, much less. You're sitting in a locker room telling your guys, hey, it's all about the team. We got to buy in. We got to be in this together. Like, oh, it's all garbage because they do this all the time. Lincoln Riley left before the season's over. Brian Kelly's team is in the CFP conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And he left. Like, what in the world? You can't wait a week? It's so ridiculous. that they're allowed to do this. I don't care about early signing period. I don't care about any of that. Just coach, just do your job at least through the end of the year, at least through the end of the season. You owe at least that to the players that you have asked to come buy into you and your program. I mean, it drives me insane.
Well, I hear you, but it's the hurry up of the arms race. And it's, you know, and it's being worried about trying to keep up with the Joneses. In this case, keeping ahead of the Joneses.
Well, you make a decision to fire a coach midseason. Like, at some point, what's the NCAA good for? Like, if they can't step in and say, here's the deal. None of this happens before the end of the season. When the last bowl went, well, when your team's last game has been played. But if you want to really make it fair, when the last bowl game's been played, we can make coaching changes. Until then, you cannot take a coach from another team. So, I just, like, it's totally ridiculous that, and people will blame it on the players. I had this conversation last night. Oh, it's because of the early signing period. It's not the players' fault that coaches abandon their teams early. Coaches and schools make those decisions to do it. Not the players. LSU decided to fire their coach. USC decided to fire their coach. Guess what? They got to wait. Unless you allow the same standard for the players. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, and look, I don't think it should be a free-for-all pay the players, but this is the kind of stuff that makes it ridiculous that they don't. Like, why not just have, you know, if give me a player for one of these teams. Well, I'll use Caleb Williams again. Hey, USC, they want to pay Caleb Williams more. Sorry, guys, I'm out of here. See you later. Like, we would never allow that or go for that, yet we just allow these coaches to do this crap all the time.
Free enterprise.
Yeah, you got to have it one way or the other. You can't have it both ways. That's the problem with college athletics. What we allow for coaches, we don't allow for players. I don't want to see that for players either. But that means I damn sure don't want to see it for coaches.
So I don't mind it for coaches.
You've got to hold them to the higher standard.
Right, but there needs to be, first, you know, we could sit and argue or debate or marvel or shake our heads and roll our eyes over the what these guys are being paid now. Anyway, the amount of money that is, you would think it would almost be embarrassing, the amount of money that they're paying these guys. But it underscores how much the arms race in college football, how important it is to athletic departments, and how much money is involved with these incredible contracts and the amount of money that they're, and the lack of courtesy. I mean, USC didn't call Oklahoma and let Joe Castiglione, the athletic director at Oklahoma, know that, hey, we're talking, we'd like you to know that that we're talking with Lincoln Riley. That thing basically went down in 12 hours. And Lincoln Riley, by most accounts, really didn't give Oklahoma very much, if any, notice at all. Just basically said, I'm out. Now, okay, but I think there should be a date. Now, I don't know how you police that or who polices it. The NCAA can't police anything. I don't know how you deal with tampering.
You have to find schools and pull scholarships. I mean, you have to do the things that would really hurt them. I mean, that, and it's not outrageous to do it because they do stuff like this all the time. It's like I don't know how there has been such a power shift and a double standard allowed to happen. I mean, and it happens in other worlds, I suppose. You know, but man, it's just I and we'll talk about the fits because I think that's all fun too, and I enjoy it as much as everybody. But I sit back and like I see reaction from players or parents of players, and you know that they're genuinely upset. And man, I got to tell you, they're right. Like, for these coaches to totally turn their backs on these kids and these programs after everything they ask of these kids and these programs and all the things that they say about buying in and team first and all of that nonsense, man, it's a joke. You got reports that Brian Kelly just basically ghosted everybody, didn't say a word to anybody. Right. And you just, like, you shake your head at that stuff. I'll tell you this, I don't think Nick Saban would ever do that. Maybe he has, but, like, if you can't, how does Brian Kelly walk into the room at LSU and convince everybody there that he's team first, we all got to be in this together? Like, I look at that if I'm a player and I just laugh. Like, whatever, dude, let's just
get me to the NFL. Do you even need to do that anymore? I
think so. I think coaches still do. Like, if you can't, I mean, it's going to make you more successful. For sure.
Ultimately,
the players, it's all about the players and their relationships with each other because you just can't trust these coaches anyway.
Well, yeah, like, you can't trust them. Players really believe the all-for-one, one-for-all kind of motivation?
I think they do. I think that they do because you've come from high school where it's genuine, right? Like, it's genuine wherever you played high school. And it really does do that. And then you've been courted and convinced by a coaching staff to come to this place, and you hear that all the time. But, you know, on the other side of it, these coaches have no loyalty. They have no loyalty. I hate to generalize it because I know there are plenty of coaches that wouldn't pull what Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly just pulled. I don't remember this happening in the middle of seasons for really good teams with their head coaches. Lincoln Riley's season, for more or less, you know, they're more or less done. Brian Kelly's
that's right.
His team has a chance to go to the CFP.
Sure.
Like, they're not out of that mix yet. And so in neither case, and look, I don't care if players opt out of bowl games either. So, you know, I'm less annoyed. I wasn't as annoyed on the Lincoln Riley thing as I am on the Brian Kelly thing, but it works both ways because you know that Lincoln Riley had some of these conversations before that game against Oklahoma State. It's not like right after Bedlam, Lincoln Riley goes home and gets a call and they work out this entire process to be done and signed, sealed, delivered by Sunday for USC. Like, this was happening and in the works before he was finished coaching the biggest game of their season. That bothers me. You know, and I try to put myself in their shoes, and I would like to think that, you know, if somebody called, I'd say, I want you to just talk to my agent. You and I aren't talking right now. Is there interest? Yeah, I probably have interest. Talk to my agent. I got to get us through this game and this season, and then just work all that stuff out with my agent, and then we'll move on later. But you know that's not happening. You know that everyone saw the flights to, you know, Baton Rouge and being courted by LSU right in the middle of everything.
Sure.
That shouldn't be allowed to happen. Lincoln Riley shouldn't be allowed to step on another campus until his season's over.
Well, here we are. Brian Kelly now to LSU, following the bombshell of Lincoln Riley to USC. I don't know who could possibly... The NCAA just doesn't have the teeth, or I think the chops, to put a line in the sand and say, nothing happens before this. And I just think that athletic departments now are so... The manner in which business is done is all about timing. We got to get our guy. We got to get him early before other people get him. We got to get him out recruiting. Brian Kelly, by all accounts, was recruiting for Notre Dame at the time. Now he's recruiting for LSU.
He's not going to have to recruit much. He's going to walk in. You know why. Oh. I mean, I think that Lincoln Riley's fit, by the way, is about perfect. I think he's going to
absolutely
just kill it there. I'm not so sure about Brian Kelly's, other than for those first couple of years, I think one of the best coaches in the country, certainly not the best recruiter, but one of the best coaches, will walk into just an immense level of talent if he can, you know, get everybody to stay. And then we'll have to see if he's able to recruit to the standard he'll need to. But he's going to have a few years probably with some of those recruiting classes to really make a run at it. My favorite thing that in all of this that I've seen was a tweet from somebody. And it said, Brian Kelly looks like he thinks Sprite is too spicy. How is he a culture fit for LSU?
I know. That's very interesting, isn't it? That's a pretty good observation. Don't know.
I mean, LSU's all about culture. And I can't think of a less Cajun individual than Brian Kelly. But whatever. Give it a shot. It's fine. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I don't really care, quite frankly. I just get, like, all this stuff makes me laugh. I can't believe that anybody would leave Oklahoma that way, but I get it. Lincoln Riley doesn't want to coach in the SEC. And, you know, he'll never say it. Nobody will ever know, but that's what I think.
No.
I think he didn't want to coach in the SEC. I think he understood what the, you know, what the consequences could be of coaching in the SEC. I think it would be much easier
USC...
for Lincoln Riley to win at USC than it will be now for him to win at Oklahoma. I don't think Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma if Oklahoma's in the Big 12 because there was such a clear path to try and win a national title. You know, it's because here's the bottom line. LSU, I mean, USC offers all this money to Lincoln Riley. If push came to shove and OU's still in the Big 12, things are constant with what they were before the big bombshell of Texas and Oklahoma. USC calls Lincoln Riley, says, we want you to come here. We want to pay $10 million a year. Lincoln Riley then says, hey, Castiglione, guess what? USC's offering me $10 million a year. I'd bet you a dollar OU could find that money and would pay him $10 million a year. So, and I bet they would have in this scenario. But if you're Lincoln Riley, no way I want to coach in the SEC. No chance. Kidding me? I'm gonna try my luck at the Pac-12 with such a massive recruiting advantage that I think I'll be okay.
See, I think the USC job is kind of a unicorn. And according to reports, Oklahoma's administration did talk or have conversations with Lincoln Riley about the move to the SEC. And at that point, he indicated no trepidation whatsoever. Now, regardless of what we think and what the motivations were, I will say this. And I thought about this a little bit after our conversation yesterday. The USC job is one of those jobs, and there aren't many of them, but that's one of those jobs that's got a lot of enticement regardless of where you are, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, LSU, I don't care where it is. It is at least a job that can compete with the trappings on the surface. And it's in LA. And we don't know what the family dimension is, the family dynamic. We don't know about, do we want to go live in L.A.? I mean, simple things like Norman, Oklahoma, Los Angeles, California.
I mean, he's a West Texas kid. I don't know. You know, you never know that kind of stuff. Never
I don't. I don't either. Right.
But
so I don't know that.
But for his raising, Norman is more consistent with the lifestyle he's known. I think sometimes that stuff is overrated. You're talking about, and maybe it matters to his family, but for Lincoln Riley, he's going to spend, you know, 300 and probably 50 days a year in his office or on the recruiting trail.
No, you're right.
So it doesn't really matter. I think sometimes that stuff gets overrated. Now, his family may say, yeah, we want to go live in LA while you're coaching. That I could understand, but I don't think it matters to Lincoln Riley. I mean, these coaches don't have any time to enjoy their surroundings anyway.
No, but I do think the competitive...
Is he going to go stroll the beach?
No, but the competitive ceiling, I think, is the thing that makes USC so attractive.
Where it is... I think Lincoln Riley could build a just a mega power at USC. Yes. It's a perfect fit. I get all of that stuff. I do. And the more I think about it, the more I like it as a fit. I just hate it for all the kids that just get left behind, and then, you know, that in one ear and then in the other, when they try to enter the transfer portal, they're told how they don't know anything about hard work or commitment or a team or anything else. Like, just stop holding them to a double standard. If you don't care that these coaches leave, then don't care when the players leave.
I don't know if that double standard goes away at any time. I think it's part and parcel of what college football has become. And frankly, it's another reason that college football is, it's one of the things that's wrong with college football at the end of the season. College football may be the greatest thing in the world through the beginning of the season, the regular season, you love it. Man, then all of a sudden you get to CFP, the way that's figured, issues with the postseason, can't figure out how in the hell to do a postseason national championship tournament when everyone else seems to have figured it out very well. And then you throw in this whole thing with coaches leaving, the message that it sends. Yeah, it's, to me, one of the real things that are wrong with college football. And we go through this pretty much every single year. And here we are again. All right, more on the college football merry-go-round, OU possibilities. I count no fewer than 12 names that have been mentioned in more than one place. We'll throw those out at you. And Luke Fickell right now, his situation with Cincinnati bearing down on a CFP, you know that he's got to be a leading candidate. At Notre Dame? Oklahoma, maybe? Maybe they've made that phone call? That probably is not quite as much of a fit. But Notre Dame sure as heck is. Again, the domino effect for coaching hires in college football here in the first week of what essentially is December. Back in just a moment. Albrocht and Hurdle with you. Jad Chambers producing. Sports Daily off and rolling on a Tuesday. Much to get to. 869-1240 on the KFH hotline. Fueled by Twin Peaks. Back in a moment.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Does it surprise you, Jacob, that Frank Kelly was only, and I use the term somewhat guardedly, only making $5 million at Notre Dame?
No, because I think at the time he signed that, that was pretty big money. I mean, it's gone way up since, what, the Jimbo Fisher deal?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, I mean, what is Nick Saban making? Is Nick Saban even in the realm that we're seeing Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly go to? Yeah, he's just under.
I thought Saban was in the 8.5-9 million, but I could be wrong there. I haven't been keeping up with
Alabama.com, and this would have been, yeah, just in October, reports Saban at 9.75.
There you go.
Ed O was the next highest at 9. David Shaw at Stanford was around 9, if you can believe that. Dabo at 8, just under 8.5. Then Lincoln Riley was in there at Oklahoma. So, yeah, I mean, as of October, Kelly wasn't even in the top 10. God, can you believe that Gary Patterson was making $6 million at TCU? He was the 10th highest paid coach before all this. But, you know, so it's the market sort of being reset all the time. And we went through the exercise last week. I think it was with Savage. Alabama, since Nick Saban's gotten there, just by very basic numbers, so it's definitely an inexact science, but just the enrollment increases that school has seen since he's been there provides something like $160 million more a year than it was the year before he got there. So they're basically, yes. And again, I that doesn't account for like tuition increases and stuff, but just a general basic, as we're wondering why these coaches make so much money, the enrollment dollars since Nick Saban have been there from the year before he got there to now are about $160 million a year higher. Is he directly responsible for all of that? Of course not. Is he very responsible for a lot of it? Of course
sure.
He is. That's why
no
these
question.
Coaches get paid this much, because the universities mm-hmm. know, or the boosters know. You know, this doesn't – most of the time this comes from – separately raised money from boosters and stuff. It's because, you know, it's big money to get butts in seats and kids in school. It's not about filling the stadium. That, of course, generates plenty of money. But, you know, the money, the endorsements, the TV deals, all that goes into it, I get it. I don't have any issue with these coaches making what they're worth. You know, I'd just like to see everybody make what they're worth. NIL is a good first step, but man, when I see
yep.
stuff like this, it drives me right up the wall again. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Leaving.
So, what about
the
situation then? If we believe, and I don't know how you feel, but Luke Fickell is surely the top candidate to fill the job at Notre Dame, and in fact, Luke Fickell has already said that Notre Dame and what Ohio State. Are mm-hmm. are his two dream jobs, sitting there at Cincinnati. It's hard to imagine that he won't be the next coach at Notre Dame. Now, if there is some place in college football that will maybe do the right thing. Maybe it's Notre Dame. Maybe Notre Dame will be the one that plays this thing close to the vest, and we'll do it at the proper time. Maybe there's a gentleman's agreement already, and who knows?
It's what's interesting is Notre Dame, if you know, it's apparently even money today that Marcus Freeman, who, you know, a young mm-hmm. guy, just 35 years old, was at Cincinnati, now at Notre Dame as the defensive coordinator. I think he's probably the betting favorite. And maybe timing has something to do with it. But what's interesting is for Notre Dame, if your top two choices are Fickell and Marcus Freeman, which I think that it probably is, you can wait, right? Like you can sure. just wait because you can have Freeman out on the recruiting trail still and you can just wait on Fickell. And I think if there's a school that would wait and a coach that has made it very clear historically that Luke Fickell doesn't strike me as the guy who's gonna leave this thing behind. You know what I mean? So I think that if he is the coach, it ain't going to happen until Cincinnati's done. I think if he's not the coach, Notre Dame has Freeman there. I think what's interesting is for Freeman, who is a rising star in the industry, young guy, like, would he stay on with Fickell, and if that's the case, he's a more effective recruiter, or would he just replace Fickell at Cincinnati? You know what I mean?
Well, that's
is there
an
like a swap there?
Yeah.
Because right. because he's got ties to that program, and I don't believe that there was any like ill will when he went from Cincinnati to Notre Dame. He's an Ohio State guy, right? Didn't he play at Ohio
yes.
State? Whatever.
Right.
So I think that possibility exists. I think there's a possibility that they just hire Freeman, right? I think they just go with Freeman. I think there were reports last night that he was the guy. Now, this morning, Swarbrick, the AD, is kind of backing off that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kelly had the common courtesy to actually talk to his players this morning, apparently for about 10 minutes. So kind of him. And so
he's got
I think
to
Notre
do,
Dame's
Jacob. He's got
right,
things.
I
he's
know.
Got, he's got things to do.
That's, yeah. that's the problem.
He's got some gumbo.
I think that, yeah, he's gonna. God. That'll be like, what is it? Yeah, it'll be an interesting culture fit.
Well, and he's going into a media. He's going into a media cauldron at in South Bend, Indiana. Look, Notre Dame is a national program. We all understand that. But. It's more insulated. Much more insulated than what he's going to be dealing with down in the bayou. It's fit is an interesting thing.
Good luck.
And we have,
you know, it's bittersweet for me today. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I've wanted Brian Kelly to be the coach at Notre Dame since he was coaching at Grand Valley State, winning national titles
really.
Every year while
sure.
I was in college. I mean, that team was so much better than everybody, every year. And I was just like, man, why doesn't somebody just hire this guy? And of course, you know, at 18, 19 years old or whatever I was then, it was naive to think anybody would ever make a jump like that. But however many years later it was, after a stop at, Central Michigan and then Cincinnati, like it was like, oh, yeah, here. And he has this tremendous amount of success. And that speaks, I think, too. Sometimes you got to take a leap of faith if you think the guy can get it done. Which that was it's like climbing at Kansas State. It was that sort of. They actually made the jump. They pulled the trigger on it, and I think it's been a success. But when you see a guy like Marcus Freeman, like if everybody in the world thinks this dude's going to be a superstar, just make him the coach. I don't think it's going to hurt you in recruiting to have a 35-year-old out on the recruiting trail. Is he going to have to, you know, take some lumps probably in the in-game stuff? Sure he will. But I don't think there's anything wrong with hiring Marcus Freeman. Notre Dame's going to have an interesting path. You know, Notre Dame's not on the inside looking, you know, anymore, I don't think. I think they're on the outside looking in most of the time mm-hmm. now. I mean, they have to be perfect. They have no championship game to help them every year. And so, I don't know where they're going to land and when the dust settles on all this stuff, but I think Marcus Freeman's fine. I think Fickell is the perfect fit. If you're willing to wait, I would be if I was Notre Dame. I absolutely would be willing to wait because Fickell has proven it so much now. And if I'm Cincinnati, I would hire
that's
Freeman.
That's the difference. That's the difference. I mean, when you have a proven entity, 9 times out of 10, the proven entity is always going to get the vote of confidence. And Luke Fickell has done a a fantastic job at Cincinnati, which is, by the way, where they went and got their last coach from.
Notre Dame has been very bold in its hires historically. I mean, I don't think it's – I wouldn't put it past them at all to hire Marcus Freeman.
No, when you go back and think of Jerry Faust –
Charlie Weiss was an interesting hire.
Yeah. I mean, Jerry Faust was what, at Moeller in Cincinnati? At Moeller High School? I think that that's correct. I could be wrong on that. But Jerry Faust was a high school coach, for goodness sakes. They plucked Tyrone Willingham out of Stanford. Charlie Weiss from the Patriots. That was ill-fated. But no, you're right. They have had an interesting history of guys that they've rolled through as their head coaches. Don't know. All right, the Oklahoma job and the rumor mill. And this thing is fluid because we started this show, 40 minutes ago, I guess now. Who knows what could be happening. But here are the names that we are hearing. We'll go through them, and you can give me level of seriousness you think. Brent Venables, I think, makes a lot of sense. Mario
Top
Cristobal
choice.
Up at Oregon. Mark Stoops at Kentucky. Hugh Freeze, which is kind of interesting, a guy that left Mississippi in some tatters, but has since then reconstituted his career, 25-11 at Liberty. I think he signed a long-term deal at Liberty, but we know how those contracts are. They're made to be broken. Jay Norvell out at Nevada. That's another Oklahoma guy, as is Josh Heupel at Tennessee, another Oklahoma guy. Matt Campbell up at Iowa State. I offered this one up yesterday just off the top of my head, Lane Kiffin, and I don't think that that's a stretch down at Mississippi. Shane Beamer at South Carolina, that's another Oklahoma guy. Venables, Stoops. Stoops has connections to Oklahoma, obviously, by name and some experience. Jay Norvell, Josh Heupel, Shane Beamer, those are all Oklahoma guys. So, and that's with Cliff Kingsbury yesterday not making a denial. Could have made a denial. They asked him. In fact, a reporter in Phoenix asked him point blank, why don't you just make a denial right now? And he said that's, you know, repeated the mantra of the only thing that I'm concerned about right now are the Chicago Bears, who are coming off a great win against the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving. Okay. Thanks, Cliff. Anyway, all right, there you go. We'll get to the NFL coming up next. We've got to get to our power rankings. Looks a little different, at least for me, this week. And some odds and ends from around the NFL as we head to Week 13 in the Grand Old Game. Sports Daily, Al Brockton, Hurdle Jad Chambers produces. You can join the show 869-1240 on the KFH hotline, fueled by Twin Peaks. We're back here in a moment. Rolling along 9:49 on a Tuesday morning. Mike's taking time out of the day to give us a buzz. 869-1240 on the KFH hotline, courtesy of our friends at Twin Peaks, serving Wichita East and West. Mike, good morning. Nice to have you on the show.
Hey, it's great to call. And I want to say, you know, the scooter and the big man, when the big man joined the band.
Thank you.
10th Avenue Freeze.
That's right. That's right.
Calling in about the Brian Kelly Notre Dame situation, you know, having been born on the birthday of the Virgin Mary, the first week that Herb Persigian coached at Notre Dame, and a family that goes back to remembering when Rockne played.
Sure.
Yeah, I love Notre Dame. and always will. I've never been a fan of Brian Kelly. I've never liked his demeanor. I thought his priorities were in the wrong place. He's kept the graduation rate up, which to Notre Dame faithful is always paramount. Or paramount rather.
Right.
But he did cost us the all-time winning percentage by having 20 wins vacated due to irregularities, which has been problematic, I think, for a lot of fans. And his overall demeanor has never endeared himself, I think, to a lot of people. I remember a few years ago when the AD and the president of the university had to sit him down and tell him not to, call kids out and blame kids, for sloppy play and throw them under the bus. Not, not being critical. You can be critical of players. It's fine. But actively throwing kids under the bus and, saying that the, coaching staff did fine. It's the players' fault, which, that's failing leadership 101 in, I think, by any standard. I remember in 2012 when they were playing for the national title, the week before the game, he goes off to try and negotiate some deal with an NFL team, leaving the team to try and prepare for Alabama. And he did that solely to blackmail Notre Dame into giving him more money. And I thought he should have been fired then. So, yeah. Good riddance. Don't really care.
Really? Good.
Never liked it.
Yeah, he's never been my favorite.
I think that's a pretty common sentiment.
Right.
I do. And I think those are the things ultimately. I don't think he will have long-term success at LSU. He might have short-term success because there's no doubt he can coach. I mean, that is very obvious at every stop he's ever been. But I think long-term, man, I just don't think he's not going to win in recruiting down there.
No. I did not like the way he left Cincinnati. I mean, leaving to advance your career is fine. I didn't like the way he left Cincinnati. That left a bad taste in my mouth. I don't like the way he left Notre Dame. Don't mind him leaving. Just do it the right way, which I don't think he did. Is it going to be easier to win at LSU than Notre Dame? Yeah, I think it's probably going to be easier to win anywhere else than at Notre Dame because of the academic standards.
All right. Well, then let me ask you this, Mike, because you're a tried and true Notre Dame guy. Who's your pick? Who would you take in a perfect world?
I think the intriguing, right now the intriguing match would be the defensive coordinator. Apparently he's doing a great deal of really standout recruiting. Fickle might be another choice. A long time ago, I wanted a coach from Northwestern, Fitzgerald. I don't know how well he's done at Northwestern lately. I mean, the last time we got a coach from Northwestern, I think we did pretty good.
Era Parsegian.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. All right.
And I miss, and as crazy as it sounds, I mean, I've met Jerry Faust before. And he is a stand-up guy. He did not do a lot of things at Notre Dame that people will remember him for, aside from having some incredible recruiting classes and beating USC a lot, which that's always important.
Which is always a good thing, too. All right, my friend. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. I don't think that your sentiments are unlike a lot of Notre Dame fans. It's kind of like they appreciate the success to a degree that Brian Kelly had in terms of wins and losses, got to a BCS final, got to two CFPs. But he also becomes the first Notre Dame coach to leave for another job in the history of the program. Think about that. The very first coach in Notre Dame history to leave the Fighting Irish for another job. And there certainly were plenty of things that were questionable about Brian Kelly during his tenure. And now it's LSU's issue. And to Jacob's point, is it a good fit at LSU? Maybe in the short term. Will it be in the long term? Remains to be seen. Probably would bet against it. Marcus Freeman, by the way, the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame we talked about, does appear to be a leading candidate for that job. All right. When we turn the page, we'll get to the NFL. Week 13. Power rankings coming and some of the developing stories that continue to keep us riveted each and every week in the NFL. Back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.